The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
To another edition of the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane Show for Wednesday, July 25th. I'm Jack Smith here with Terry Wall. Terry, we're ready to do it again.
Yes, we are, and we're going to have a very good guest on tonight, Russ Chapman, the head tech director, inspector, whatever his title is, for the ASA. And I talked to Russ earlier, and we're going to have a very interesting show with him tonight.
Yeah, and we're going to have a bit of an abbreviated show because we did a special event last night up in St. Petersburg, Florida, Sunshine Family Reunion, or Sunshine Speedway Family Reunion, big deal there, and I can hardly talk.
Well, some people would say, Jack, that is the best.
Yeah, no, I know, and they're probably right. So, yeah, it looks like an old-timer came out of the woodwork to win a race here in the ASA late model challenge division, huh?
Yeah, Peter Cozzolino won the race, and I don't think Peter would like us calling him an old-timer, but he sure showed the young guns how to get around the best way to get around the track this weekend.
Well, you probably know a little more about Peter, but he was one of the racers in the old ASA, the original ASA series.
The original and the after ASA. And the reason I know Peter a lot, he had a McDonald's sponsorship.
That's right.
His car.
That's right.
Number 35 McDonald's car. And everybody liked Peter because he had McDonald's on his car.
Oh, yeah. He was the Ronald McDonald guy. I remember that now. Now that you said that, I remember I picture it. He was well promoted. Well marketed, had a good marketing game going.
We'll have to try and get Peter on next week's show. Work on that. The old guys they're not done yet. We can't bury them yet. They're still out there fighting. And Eddie Hoffman's one of the older persons, in the ASA Challenge Series, and he's like third in points.
Second
in points.
Yeah, he's breathing down. Travis Dassault's, am I doing that wrong again? Because we had Travis on our show, and I asked him how he say his name, remember?
Yeah, Dassault.
Yeah, I can never seem to remember. And then, it's pretty cool to see the guys. That's one of the interesting things about the ASA series is the melding of the older guys been around for a while and some of the young talent that's coming up.
It'd be interesting to find out, get one of the older guys on, how thin their patience gets with some of these younger people.
Yeah, we'll have to get a couple of these guys on at the same time, and an older driver and a younger one, and get them maybe compare notes online on live at the same time.
Oh, yeah. That's, I think take a break now, Jack, and we'll get back here. We're going to have Russ Chapman on. But for right now, folks, we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, right back with the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
Here's your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XS Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
All right, we're back here at the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. Jack Smith here, Terry Wall on the other end. And Terry, do we have our guests hooked up now?
Yes, sir. We have Russ Chapman, and I call him the head technical man for the O'Reilly's ASA. Well, not O'Reilly's ASA, but the ASA Racing Series. Are you there, Russ?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the...
I'm the tech director for the ASA Late Model Series.
There you go.
There we go. I told Jack we was going to have to get you to clarify it for us.
See, Russ, we have all these new sponsors, and so we get all confused and befuddled with all the names, you know? But welcome to the show, man, and what a great series you have the pleasure of working with.
I think so. I hope it continues, you know, with the models that we have and what we're trying to accomplish. I hope it replaces the old NASCAR late model sportsman so you can run the same car anywhere in the United States, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Terry.
One of the things I want to talk about first is I applaud ASA for the crate motor deal. You've had probably a lot of detractors about the crate motor deal, but I think the number of cars that show up each week to your races that just attribute the fact that the crate motor deal is working.
I think you're 100% correct, you know. The crate motor should save the race for a stupendous amount of money, you know, as long as they don't try to do like we all do and look for the sneakiest, streakiest part of the week, you know, to put on it, you know.
Right. And I know you had a couple problems with that already this year, but basically, Russell, again, the tech part of the ASA series, I'm very impressed with. Sure, some of the competitors complain about it, but I bet 90% of the competitors applaud you for it because now you're trying to incorporate an even playing field.
Yeah, we're trying to make parity among the series where the guy with the 28-foot trailer and one car and 12 wheels and one motor can be just as competitive as the guy with a $350,000 rig with two or three cars in it, you know. But besides with the crate motor, we have a spec air filter, spec carburetor, spec fuel, spec tires, spec ignition box. So we've made it where it's we've quite leveled the field if we can just keep going with it, you know. And that is my job, is to bring parity to the series, you know.
Russ, how many people are on your team?
We have approximately 12 that come in and out of the series, you know. I mean, some weekends we'll have 8, some weekends we'll have 9, some weekends we'll have 5, you know. Yeah. That's where we're until the series gets financially stable, which it's headed that way. It's going to be like that, you know. We're doing the job with a few, you know. Yeah. They're knowledgeable people, you know.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Well, I was going to say you have... you know, we've been to several of the ASA South events, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, you notice automatically when you go to an ASA late model event is it's almost like the ARCA deal. There's officials everywhere, and you're really putting the guys through the ringer, so to speak. Some of the new guys probably feel that way because there's a lot of teching going on.
Sure, there is. There's a template body also. It's an ABC program that's for the 5-Star and through ARP. And with that being said, the templates are there to keep honest people honest, you know, like a lock on a padlock on a door, you know. And then we do the major of the stuff underneath the car, you know. But the templates make all the cars look identical, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got some good people. We know Bert Thomas, you know, real well. And we've had him on our show, of course, too. But we know him for years. And when you have that kind of talent on your team, you got to make your job a little easier.
Yeah, Bert's a good man, ex-police officer, very good man.
Yeah. What, go ahead.
What is the first thing, like when you go through tech, give us a little rundown of what that first thing you check and basically everything that you do check on the car.
The first thing we usually do is weigh the car. We have the scales we set them up on, and the guys have to weigh 2,700 pounds with the driver in the car, and they have to have 59% left side weight. Then after that, they roll the car off the scales. The driver gets out of the car, and we put a referee on it, which tells us that the body is located in the correct position, right heights, the doors are all right. Then when the template's done, it checks wheelbase too. And then that's done. Then we put the template on it, which measures the nose height, window heights, roof heights, quarter panels, spoiler height, off the ground, how high it is off the ground. So many measurements we do check with that. And then we have some builder's templates that we put on every now and then, you know. Mm-hmm. It's to keep everybody honest and, once again, to keep parity in the series, make the cars look like they are race cars and they all look the same, other than the nomenclature for Chrysler, Chevrolet, or Ford, you know.
Right.
Tell us. Go ahead, Terry.
Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I was just going to ask Russ, what a little bit about your background that got you to this point?
Well, what Ryan and him saw was I was crew chief on the Juice Time car for three seasons, and they said they saw how hard I worked. But where the knowledge came from is I started at 64. I started back in the 60s and ran through the late model sportsman division, stayed in the top 150 in the nation for 5 years, and then I moved on to run the ARCA series. And I didn't do bad in the ARCA series for a guy with, you know, limited funds. I finished 6th at Talladega in 79. I finished 12th in the second race there, and I ran Michigan. I ran all the short tracks up, you know, Flat Rock and all the short tracks up in the Midwest, although I was from Tennessee. And then I moved up to Wisconsin and got involved again with some racers, and now you've got me, you know. And being I was a Southerner, they sort of thought that I had an idea of what an average racer would be trying to do to their car. And so I look at it as if I was racing, what would I do to get competitive? And the series is not like that. The series is built upon a bunch of spec items, and you're not allowed to touch those. So Tekken's pretty easy that way, you know.
So because you were a Southerner, they had a different idea about it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Southerners do. The Southern boys do. You know, real racers, we always said when I lived in the South, came from the South, and they have a different perspective. If you can't beat them, you join them. So whatever they're doing, you're doing. So when they say theory, we're trying to take that out of the equation and make everybody equal. So it's a driver development series and a crew chief development series, you know. And when you step up from the South and the North to the Challenge division, they put a radial tire on you just like NASCAR has, and then it becomes a real driver, because then the ASA series and the tires is a very humbling factor. We've had a lot of people that struggle to get their handle on the Craig motor, which has no horsepower, a 10-inch tire, which is very sticky, and the radials that have no stagger. And these guys, they struggle. I mean, a few of them catch on real quick. You know, it's not like you would think a late model. You just jump on the gas and come flying out of the corner. It's the momentum. You have to keep the momentum up through the corner. And then when it's on the gas, the momentum is already there, and you continue on, you know.
Yeah, that's what the Hooters deal did too. I mean, they did that, and it's a learning curve, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a very tough thing. It's a humbling series, you know. You mentioned Eddie Hoffman earlier. Eddie runs with us quite frequently, and sometimes he struggles because it's the tire. When you run the radial tire, is very humbling. You know, you have a car that has very little stagger. You know, and with that being said, it levels the playing field real quick. You know, young guys have an advantage because they have no built-in bad habits. You can teach them how to drive easier because they have no built-in. And they don't know the super late to just jump on the gas with 700 horsepower and it pulls you through the corners. You know?
Oh, so you're saying like a guy, even like in the Southern Division, youngster Jeff Choquette, I mean, he's got a lot of super late model series, and he's won some pretty big super late model races. So what you're saying is like he would be actually at a disadvantage as opposed to somebody learning who had not had any of that experience.
That's true. I think if you'll ask Jess, that's the same story. He would tell you there's two cars, the Dodge, it's a 28 and the 41 car. Both those guys came up from the legend cars, so we're talking about no horsepower, and both those guys are a very smooth driver, and they can fly out of the corners. See, with that car, they keep the momentum up where Jeff is used to, what you said, stepping on the gas and the horsepower pulling him through the corner.
Yeah, and then Sean Bass and Brandon Johnson, those guys came up racing them trucks, which are kind of like street stocks, yep, with truck bodies.
That's the same two guys I mentioned.
Yeah.
Brandon drives the 41 and Sean drives the 28. And
yeah,
both of them, very, very smooth. They can take a big tired under horsepower car and they do real well in them, you know.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
Get back to the tech part. I know you've had a couple problems with motors this year. In the beginning of the year, Russ, did you have to tell a lot of people they need to change their body? Because you know how they try and get away with stuff at the beginning of the year until they go through tech and you correct them on what they're doing. Is it now when at the beginning of the year and now, is it like two different situations?
Teching with the body is much easier now than it was before because we had some real creative customers that made their car look like Jeff Gordon's. Remember the Araka ship he had about 4 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
They looked just like that, and after the first couple of races, they got in line and decided that everybody's car would look alike other than the manufacturer's ID, you know. And that part is very easy now. We don't have much going through tech with the body temp. It's pretty much easy, you know.
Right.
Not unless you're wrecking, bend it up. Other than that, it's much nicer than it was the first two races.
Now, I know you had a motor problem like the second race with a driver, and we had a motor problem at New Smyrna. Can you run us through exactly what makes you decide to tear down a motor, or is there certain things, or just luck of the draw?
No, in most cases, if it's like with myself, when I'm there, I sit in each corner for a while. I go down the straightaways during the race, and I take a stopwatch with me, and I clock the racers in the corner, through the middle, and out the corner.
Right.
I do that on and on, and I watch what's happening. Even though he may not be winning the race, if he's third, you know, you're watching what's going on and say, okay, this car's too fast, you know. And make a mental note of that at the end of the race, then you want to go look at it. Or you look at it during the practice tech and qualifying tech, and if you see what we have seen in the past, people have tampered with the seals, then automatically you pull it. Then we have some other things. We look inside them with a borescope. We have them drop the headers, and we take some measurements in the ports. And all those things get you back to where, oh, okay. You know.
Yeah, down here in Florida over the last few years, we've done a lot of shows. It's kind of gotten old now, but we did a lot of shows about crate motors. And we get these tech guys on, you know, that have been guys that build cars or work for tracks, you know. And we heard over and over, these guys all say, you can take a crate motor. If you know what you're doing, you go take a crate motor and take it apart. Now, I don't know anything about this stuff myself personally, so a lot of it's over my head. Terry knows more than I do about that. But, you know, we heard that over and over. These guys say, yeah, crate motors, you can do what you want, but these guys still figure out a way to open them up and you can do it. Is that right or is that nonsense?
No, there have been instances where they have done that and they're continually doing it and we're continually chasing after them, you know. Most of the time, our past racing experiences has guided us to where we know who's doing what, and usually we pick them up or they know we're after them and they park the engine. They don't ever bring it back, you know.
Oh, because they catch on.
You can get in them. You can violate the seals. You can violate the bolts. But, you know, we always say be advised. There's an old man that's chasing after you, and
you could smell them.
We get them, you know.
Yeah, you could smell them, right?
Well, we've had some fuel issues, and that's how I found the fuel issues by smell. You know, people thought you couldn't, but you can, you know.
Oh yeah, because you guys also y'all check the fuel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some fuel issues, and you know, after finding where it was and then doing a sample on it, you know, that person was chastised just like they should be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, now, racers are typical. You know, they'll push the envelope on any way they can, you know. And you have to, as you all remember, if everybody remembers that that's how NASCAR got started with a bunch of moonshiners that, remember, they were breaking the law and they just decided to see who had the best car, and we're still in that, you know. And
right.
It's not a bad thing for the sales, but that's where all this innovation came from, you know. And they're still innovators, you know. That's why NASCAR built the crate to go up and out of the top of them, that big template that fits the whole car.
Right. Well, now I mentioned the second week in the season you had a horrible problem that you had to deal with. May I ask what the problem was in the motor?
You talking about?
I won't mention any names.
When you and I talked earlier?
Yeah.
It wasn't in the motor. It was in the body, and then their thoughts of what they thought they could get by with, you know, and this had been manipulation of the body, and finally, after a period of time, we decided that we couldn't babysit one car anymore, and that's what it's been all year. We have somebody else like that. We've had a problem with the motor. We won't babysit you. We'll just take the motor and send you home, and you've lost $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, whatever you put in it, you know.
Right.
You confiscate.
That's good for the sport, because when you do that, the other competitors have came by, like the Charlie Menards and the Mike Lynette, and said, hey,
right,
I'm glad you're doing it, because now we don't have to chase an elusive illegal part. We can stick to the rules and race and competitively, you know. And
Now it boils down to the crew chief and the driver.
Yep. Which is what it's supposed to be. Exactly right. It's not a money thing anymore, because, you know, the guy, like you said, the 41 car and the 28 car, those are not well-funded teams, and they're competitive. Brandon won a race this year and ran second last weekend, a weekend before last at Birmingham.
Absolutely. Right. And there's another youngster there in that Southern Division, Brian Bloom, who is even less well-funded than those two, and he's not doing too bad. You know, so you're right. That's pretty cool. What is it an expensive proposition? Like, is it costly to the series to do, like, motor teardowns and all that? I mean,
sure,
when you got to take the motor?
It's costly. There's two costs that comes into play. One is you've lost the racing team. If you find something illegal, you lost that team. And that's one cost. The cost is you have to transport it back. You have to, if you're going to dyno it, you have to pay to have it dyno it. If not, then you spend more time with the tech guys doing a cam pro and the rest of the pumps and whistles and carburetor checks. So there's some cost to ASA with it, you know. And then if it's deemed legal, then you got to ship it back. So it's costly to ASA to do that, but they know that it's best for the series that they do that. But sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow when you have a team, you took their motor and you say, well, we'll see you guys because you broke one of our cardinal rules, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, you lose a team and you lose, you know, and you're losing finances, you know.
Yeah, but you
be a team that brings a lot of fans with them, you know.
That's right. Yeah, but hopefully you gain integrity and you gain more drivers as a result. Because one thing we've noticed, at least in the South, is that the tougher the tech rules are at tracks or various tracks or series, it seems like the more cars that are gravitate towards those series. Guys like even playing field.
That's the intent, and it is. It does. At first, it's a little shaky when you start doing it, and then you look around and see more teams keep coming back and more teams, and you get guys saying, well, now I can race them, or before I couldn't, you know.
Do you know, Russ, Fritz Augustine?
Nope, don't know that name at all.
Okay, I didn't know if he'd been a tech guy for the Hooters Pro Cup for a long time. I was just wondering if, you know, he's been around forever, too. I just wondered if you compare notes with guys that, like yourself, that have been around this a whole long time and sort of live in the tech world?
And I talk to a lot of our past racers constantly, because we talk about what's the newest technology, you know, what do you hear is going on up down south, or what do you hear is going up at west, you know. Yeah, I do that probably four times a week, maybe five times, you know.
Yeah.
Even people working in competitive series, you know, I still talk to them about what's going on, you know. And you sort of have to stay abreast of what the newest innovation is. You sort of have to, yeah.
I mean, but don't talk to NASCAR. They're in their own world.
NASCAR has changed. So when I ran it, it was a total different thing. Now it's in the boardroom now. It's not real racing anymore. At least I don't think it is.
You know, we were talking to
car tomorrow is going to make it, but and the car tomorrow looks like the SA late models program. You have a template car.
Yeah.
They've got a limit on the motor. They've got tires. They've got an ignition system the same way, an air filter, some springs.
Yeah, but that wing on the back, doesn't that look ugly?
That surprises me, because, you know, that came out of sports cars. That I don't see any cars like that. You know, it used to be what wins on Sunday sells on Monday, but I don't know how you can sell those.
We don't make Super Bs anymore. We were talking to Dick Anderson. We did a long interview with Dick Anderson last week. Of course, he's won over 1,000 super late model and late model races over his career. And, you know, he said NASCAR is like wrestling. It's not real anymore.
Well, they don't look like race cars anymore, yeah.
But that's
car tomorrow. Yeah, I have to agree with Dickie on that, you know.
Yeah, so what do you think of all this young talent? I mean, of course, you got some good veteran drivers, obviously Peter Cozzolino and Eddie Hoffman, these guys. What about this all this young talent coming up through the ASA? Is that how do you see all that?
It's actually needed, you know. NASCAR needs them, we need them, and the fans need them because, you know, there's a fan base that's built off of the younger guys. And it's easier for the younger guys for you to train and teach them how to drive a car because they don't have any built-in, like playing golf, you don't have any built-in glitches, you know, that you have to do. You just, you know, the hardest thing on a young guy is to teach them so that they can give you feedback correctly on what the car is doing, you know.
Right. Yeah, and the guys that work on the car more have – that was the thing, something Dick said, too, is that the kids that work on the cars more and do more getting their hands dirty, they seem to be able to talk better and tell you what the car's doing than not. So you're getting ready for Bristol.
Yeah, but we're going to Rockford this weekend first, and then Bristol is the next big race for us.
Yeah, so you got them. That's going to be two back-to-back ones.
Speedway.
Yep.
Is the Dairies still on that?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Yeah, I was there in 1977 when National Short Track race was there, and Mark Martin at 18 years old won that race. He beat Dick Trickle and Tommy Reffner and all them guys, and we were pitted right next to Mark, and I used to be the gopher. I ran with Larry Schuler, Tracy Schuler, Lee Schuler, mm-hmm. on their crew, and I was their gopher, and we used to go borrow stuff from Mark's trailer because he had everything.
he had a huge trailer.
Oh, yeah.
He had one of the biggest trailer for the ASA guys of anybody, you know.
Yeah. And he's not done too shabby in the NASCAR deal either.
Yeah, so that's the Monsters of Rock Tour this coming Saturday night. That's pretty cool.
And the Bristol thing will be interesting, and that'd be an interesting weekend for somebody to watch, you know.
Yeah.
Try and be there for Bristol.
We were saying that's the week for the bodybuilders. They're going to have some work to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Right now we have 48 cars, I think, entered, and we look for around 50 to 60, which will be three days of real tech inspection, you know.
Yeah. Will you be...
we'll have to do a safety inspection first to be sure that the cars are safe enough, you know, the ones we haven't been seeing all year and tagging them, and then the rest of them will be just a normal tech inspection, you know.
The rest
so what's your schedule?
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack. What's your schedule, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And do you go to all the events on the North, South, and the Challenge?
I've been going to all the North and the Challenge and a few Southerns, but I think things are fixing to change, that it's going to be a requirement that I go to a lot more of the Southern races for a while, you know.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on them Southern boys now.
Yeah, the Florida boys especially.
I read between them lines, Russ. But, so will you be at, do you plan to go to the Orange County race?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's the next one we'll be able to go to. We tried to get to Bristol, but there's just too many other things going on. We couldn't get it done, but we'll see you at Orange County. That's cool. Did you have something else there, Terry?
Well, no, I just, any reason why that you're going to more Southern races? Is there something going on that we can get a scoop on?
The scoop is that we're trying to make the hamburgers that's made in the North, in the South, and in the Challenge, the same hamburger. Look the same, feel the same, taste the same, and be the same.
I see.
So we have rule books, and we have three different divisions, and they need to be the auspices that it's all ASA late model, and it's all the ticking the same, all the racing the same.
Right.
So if a guy from the South decides to come run a North race, he's treated the same, and he knows his car fits. Guy from the North goes down South, it's the same story. Like the old late model sportsman said, you know,
right.
You go all over the country and race, you know. And that's why I don't see how this cannot catch on, you know.
Yeah, I know
we have a crappy economy, but, oh, well, that's all the way it is, you know.
Well, you know, if you have any info, I'm sure Ron and Sandy Varney got to be great people to work for. I mean, they just seem like really, really, I mean, Ron, they're so professional about how they approach things. But, You know, I just hope this series stays away from the big tracks, man. It stays short track racing because that's where that's what the fans seem to want.
I agree. There's something lacking in a short track, and that's what this. Hopefully, this fills the void that was been gone by Arto and the old ASA.
I'll tell you, Russ. When we, you know, we went. I was at the Bronson race, first Southern Division race, and then we went up to Watermelon Capital, and then we were at New Smyrna. And when the you know, of course, we cover everything that moves down here in Florida through our, you know, our various websites and things, and I was amazed at the amount of people that were all of a sudden they caught on. They understood. After they saw the race at New Smyrna, they understood because there was a lot of, those cars are slow and there's a lot of this and a lot of that. But once the fans came out, saw the race, and they had a good crowd over there, and the talky-talk went on, and ASA made a ton of fans at New Smyrna Speedway. You know, around.
I'm glad to hear that. I hope that keeps going, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like you said, it's exciting racing. I mean, there's a lot of cautions. You know, maybe you don't get as many green flag runs yet that you'd like to get. But, you know, these guys, all of these races in the South, at least, and I think it's pretty much around the whole deal, they come down to the last 20 laps or so. There's a lot of people that could still win the race.
Yep. That's what it's designed to be, it can be, you know.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I was impressed with when I looked at the last results at Birmingham. There were 17 cars still in the lead lap.
Yes, they were.
I know there was a few cautions, but still on a half mile or a little over half mile from him, to have 17 cars on the lead lap, that's unheard of in a 125 lap race.
Yeah, and there were six of them in a row trying to get to be first place, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Good stuff. Well, Russ, we really appreciate.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. This is this has been extremely informative and very interesting.
I hope that all the fans are, too, and they keep coming out.
Yeah.
Well, unofficially, Jack told me unofficially, there's 13 more cars that are probably going to come out of Florida next year.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was a month or so ago, too, a couple of months ago.
Yeah. So if that's the case, Russ, you're going to have your hands full next year.
That's fine. You know, I mean, that... It makes for a short day, and it makes for an exciting day. You know, I mean, if you stay busy, as you said, really the racers like it and want it. You know, I mean, they have some direction. They know what the books say, what the rules are. And you hear so many of the guys say, you know, I'm glad you guys are starting to take us like you are, you know.
That's right.
Much better for us because we're not chasing that elusive part every week. We know what we're chasing, the same kind of car as everybody else has, you know.
Well, if ASA sticks with it and doesn't vary, like all, you know, how many other series, Russ, has varied up with what they've been doing just to get a car count. If you guys stick with what you're doing, there's no doubt in my mind that this will be the most successful series in the country. And I would include NASCAR with that. Because NASCAR, if you see the stands nowadays, they're not full, and all the TV ratings are down. There's some people out there that don't like what NASCAR is doing, and I'm one of them.
Yeah,
so
it could be more exciting.
With it, and I'll help you get a TV series, a TV show, too. I'll work on that.
That would be helpful. I can tell you, Sandy and Ron are both dedicated to this, as are most of us that do it, because, you know, right now there's not a lot of money being made in this, you know, especially not on our end.
Right.
And we've got people all over the country that's dedicated to this, you know. I mean, one of our tech inspectors is Christine Bischelberger, and her husband is the chief engineer for Rick Hendricks on the car tomorrow. So,
wow.
You know, we've got some real good officials in this series. You know.
That's cool.
They dedicate a lot of their time to this. You know, she misses no races at all. She's one of the few that did every one of them. So, it, you know, we have a lot of them like that are dedicated.
Oh, yeah. And outside the tech area, you know, Matt, I just marvel at Matt Prier, the young man who's does the media, you know, he's very special. There's no doubt about it.
Yep, he has a gift of gab that it's unbelievable. If you can hear him, you say, "Holy smoke!" You know?
Yeah,
got
mm-hmm.
a couple excellent flagmen. You know, I mean, it's just amazing that the people that have dedicated all their free time to make this work. You know, and big hands off to all of our wives and our friends that put up with us being gone every weekend. You know.
Well, another thing that other people that's dedicated to you is Carnac.com. We're dedicated to the ASA series. We
affordable and it's exciting, and that's really about all you can ask of a good, you know, if it's affordable for the racers and exciting for the fans, I think you got it. And I think you guys got that going right now pretty good.
We're trying hard. I appreciate the comments.
Yeah. All right, Russ.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up, Russ. And, again, like Jack said, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We kudos on the work you're doing, and keep up the good work. And we definitely will have you on the show again down the road. And who knows, I might show up in your tech era one day and just start complaining about everything.
There you go. All right.
All right, Russ.
See you guys later.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Russ.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Good. All right, Terry.
Russ Chapman.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it was a great interview. He's a great interview. ASA is a great series. And the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane show, we'll dedicate this show to ASA, and we're keeping up. And the more we talk to people from the ASA, Jack, the better I like it. It's just amazing, the people that's in charge and the drivers in the ASA series.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we'll be back next week with results from the Monsters of the Rock Tour out in Rockford Speedway. And
yep.
And then, of course, next week, too, we'll cover what happened out there. And we're still going to try to get Eddie Hoffman hooked up next week.
Yep,
and,
Eddie Hoffman hooked up.
And of course, we will be doing some special coverage of the upcoming Bristol Bash.
What I would like to do on that deal, Jack, is maybe get the general manager of Bristol on the show.
We'll see if we can hook that up.
And yeah, I probably could get that done, and we get him on the show, and maybe Mr. Varney.
That might be good.
Talk to Ron next week to talk about the Bristol deal.
Great guy, and look forward to it, man. And I think that's about it for this week.
That's it.
The O'Reilly.
Enjoy, Mr. Smith, and you take care of yourself. I know he's a little bit under the weather there.
Yeah, well, it's just a temporary thing. The ASA, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. See you next week.
Oh, that was awesome.